Our United States government, under the auspices of Woodrow Wilson, then the president, undertook to find out what was the trouble in America with the people generally. They appointed an industrial relations commission headed by Frank P. Walt of Kansas City, Missouri. They made an intensive study, and at the conclusion of that study, they reported that the chief cause and the chief trouble with America was that a small percent of the people owned a large percent of the wealth. Now, you'll find that in the report of 1916 published by Congress. In other words, Woodrow Wilson's administration in 1916 said, too few have too much. Too many have too little. They gave a table. They said that 2% of the people own 60% of the wealth. They said there's a middle class of 33% that owns 35% of the wealth. They said that 65% of the people own less than 5% of the wealth. That 2 million people own more than 110 million people. That was the finding of our industrial conference serving under the appointment of Congress and Woodrow Wilson, the president. And it says, I propose a limitation on the size of fortune, both ways. I propose a limitation on how big a fortune can get, and a limitation on how little a fortune can get. I propose that a third the average is the smallest. One-third the average is the smallest. I propose that none should be over a few millions of dollars. A capital levy tax to be levied. The first 1 million not to be taxed except as it is now taxed. The second million to be taxed 1%. The third million 2%. The fourth million 4%. The fifth million 8%. The sixth million 16%. The seventh million 32%. The eighth million 64%. The ninth million 100%. To me, that no man with that tax levied against him every year can possess a fortune of more than from $3 to $4 or $5 million to any one man. Now, what's that going to mean? That's going to mean that within 2 or 3 years' time, the United States finds the treasury of the United States in possession of $165 billion of the wealth of this country. $165 billion at the minimum. Then, we start from the bottom that the 25 or more million American families shall have a homestead. Louisiana has a homestead. Florida has a homestead. Texas has a homestead. That every citizen in the United States shall have a homestead up to $5,000. One-third the average wealth per family. Not like Mr. Brisbane said, when a man has to misstate the facts, he's probably run out of argument. My friend Arthur Brisbane, don't state the facts any longer. He argued with me a while. But he couldn't meet the facts. Now he has to misstate the facts. Just 20-1 for the truth. In other words, 19/20 of what Mr. Brisbane says is a lie. And 1/20 is the truth. That's all. We're not going to destroy the Gulf Refining Company. We're not going to destroy the Standard Oil Company. But we're going to say that the limit of any one man stock ownership in the Standard Oil Company is from $3 to $5 million to that individual, and that the balance of the people of America own the balance of what the Standard Oil Company is worth. All right. Then what are we going to do? We're going to guarantee, if our plan succeeds, and it is, don't fool yourself, it's going to win this country. It's going to win this country. Not 1940. It won in 1932, but we didn't get it, but we're going to win again. 36. We're going to say then that every family in this country is entitled to the Florida and the Texas and the Louisiana homestead right, up to $5,000, or one-third the average. A home and the comforts of a home, including an automobile and a radio, the things it takes in that house to live on. 16. Now, if you have planted upon that table the food and the clothing and the products that it takes for 125 million people to live on, any man with a thimble full of sense ought to know that if you take 85% off of that table and give it to one man, that you're bound to have two-thirds of the people starving because they haven't got enough to eat. How many men ever went to a barbecue and would let one man take off the table what's intended for 9/10 of the people to eat? The only way you'll ever be able to feed the balance of the people is to make that man come back and bring back some of that grub. He ain't got no business. Now we've got a barbecue. We have been praying to the Almighty to send us to a feast. We have knelt on our knees morning and night time. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have asked the Almighty to fulfill that prayer of the Scripture, that He would smile on the field, give us rain in due season, and cause our fields the abundance necessary for life. And that prayer has been answered. There has been yielded too much to eat, too much to wear, everything to live in. The Lord has answered the prayer. He has called the barbecue. Come to my feast. He said to 125 million American people, but Moses and Rockefeller and Miller and Baruch and walked up and took 85% of the vittles off the table. Now, how are you going to feed the balance of the people? What's Morgan and Baruch and Rockefeller and Mellon going to do with all that grub? They can't eat it. They can't wear the clothes. They can't live in the house. Give them a yacht. Give them a palace. Send them to Reno and give them a new wife. That's what they want. But when they've got everything on the God's living earth that they can eat, they can wear, they can live in, and all that their children can live in and wear and eat, and all their children can use, then we got to call Mr. Morgan and Mr. Mellon and Mr. Rockefeller back to come back here. Well, that stuff back on this table here that you took away from here, you don't need. Leave something else for the American people to consume. And that's the problem. Now, my friends, I have in a rather belabored effort told you about everything I stand for, about everything I advocate in Congress. I can't anticipate all your questions. I won't undertake to do so. I would have loved in my early days to have had the opportunity They don't quit depending on the newspapers. They don't know where they're coming or going. They don't know what to say. One day they say one thing, another day they say another. But you have the nucleus, the composite group of people here, have the touch of the majority of the people of the United States. I'd like to have you, not supporting me. Maybe I can get along without it somehow or another. I'd like to have you study seriously, whether or not the American country is going to survive without we call into being what the Lord said had to be done. Whether or not an inequality, starvation among plenty, a nakedness in the land of too much, a homelessness amidst palaces, a luxury on the one hand, a pestilence on the other. Whether or not we ought not to forget these dictators and let the people of America understand that whether you've got an NRA or a JRA or a PWA or a GIN or a JUGR, what? That nothing can survive, that nothing can advance against this abundance, against this plenty, against this surplus, except that we say to America, 125 million, none shall be too big, none shall be too poor, none shall work too much, none shall be idle. No luxurious mansion centers. None walking the streets. None in poverty. None in pest. None in want. But in the land blessed by the smile of the Creator, with everything to be consumed, to be eaten, to be worn, that America will become a land sharing the fruits of the land, not for the favored few. Not to satisfy greed, but that all may live in the land in which the Lord has provided an abundance sufficient for the luxury and convenience of the people in justice. I pray.